This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters, the show where we go behind the headlines and explore issues driving the press. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. Issues on migrants, refugees, and foreign nationals are hot-button topics, more so in the global pandemic. What's the role of the media in moderating or amplifying these issues? That's the question we're discussing today. And with me, I have from the International Organization for Migration Malaysia, Malarvili Meganathan, Media and Communications Consultant, as well as Wong Chun-Thing, National Project Officer, looking at public health and migration. Malar, Chun-Thing, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Shazana.
Thanks, Shazana.
Let's talk about how the pandemic has affected the work that the both of you do with the IOM. I mean, do you find yourselves busier now than during pre-pandemic times? I mean, are scenarios different or is it more of the same, as in you're just constantly busy anyway? Chun-Thing, we'll start with you.
Sure. I think it's always busy in humanitarian work, and we know that the impact for pandemic is actually have added a lot of more vulnerables for the migrant and refugee group. So I think I have a countless of sleepless nights and like working weekend as well. So you can see that how tensions that we can be. And we also work, I work in public health area. So there are many, this pandemic is a health issue. So a lot of new information to receive, a lot of information to digest, and also daily new information to come in. So it also affect the planning and the normal working schedules. So, but then we can see that it's more challenging for this year and last year as well.
What about you, Malar, from your role in the IOM? How are you viewing the pandemic affecting your work?
All right. Because I think due to the pandemic in terms of media and communications, there have been a lot of challenges in addressing issues, stemming issues. For example, we have been focused on producing more communication and information materials, not only in terms of the Malaysian public, but also for migrants. So late last year, we were focused on producing a lot of information materials based on the movement control orders, and then infographics, for example, and then translating those materials to different languages. We did anywhere between 12 to 14 languages with the help of other United Nations migration officers around the world and in the region to produce these materials so that, and then disseminate those materials to our partners. So we keep people informed based on the latest directives.
Right. Okay. So that's one part of the work that you do. And turning, I suppose, to media reporting and the big topic that we're discussing today, what are some of your observations of the trends in reporting on migrant issues during the pandemic? I mean, we know that migrant issues have always been a natural subject matter for sensationalism. I mean, is it a given that this pandemic has only served to exacerbate that?
For sure. Now, as lockdowns and restrictions continue, especially amid pandemic response in Malaysia, experts and advocates have raised multiple concerns, especially in the media industry, based on the escalation of dehumanizing narratives, harmful stereotypes, inaccurate representations of marginalized communities, especially migrants and refugees. And while Malaysia has seen an alarming increase in anti-migrant rhetoric, stigma and xenophobia, it is by no means alone. So if we take a look at some international examples, in the United States, for instance, now following an overwhelming support from both chambers of Congress, President Biden recently signed a legislation that addresses hate crimes, hate speech and xenophobia. And at the same time, if we look at Europe, major cities in Europe have also seen a significant rise in anti-migrant sentiments in news coverage and also ultra-nationalism or even xenophobia. Mm-hmm.
So it's not an issue that's unique to Malaysia. Really, the world is experiencing this rise in suspicion or anti-migrant sentiment. What are your observations of the trends here in Malaysia, I guess, in terms of the kinds of stories that are being reported when it comes to migrant issues?
I think here in Malaysia, we have positive and negative news stories or narratives and rhetoric. But what is most concerning here is a matter of a negative rhetoric in terms of when we're looking at issues, or in recent weeks, we have seen multiple articles published in conventional media where there are some sort of like a false allegations, false claims that a certain groups of migrants or refugees are insisting on certain rights or clashing with authorities, or they are enjoying so-called special privileges. And I think the main issue here that we need to address is also disinformation. Because in other words, disinformation means that orchestrated attempts basically to confuse or manipulate people through delivering a dishonest and false information. And disinformation, especially here in Malaysia, is particularly dangerous because it is frequently organized, well-resourced, and also often reinforced by certain parties with power.
Okay. You're talking about a lot of really worrying trends, Malar. And let's focus on the responsibility of the media organization primarily first. What role does the media play then in deciding what should be disseminated to the people?
I think, especially in terms of setting perceptions, right, about migrants and how those kind of perceptions impact coverage. For example, migration is as much about reality as it is about perception. And perception by, for example, by policymakers, politicians, citizens, voters on what is happening, how it can be managed. And for sure, as you mentioned, the media is a prominent influencer in terms of, you know, deciding what the reader should read and influencing public perception. So I think important sources of information do impact how people think, how people act, and how even policymakers prioritize agenda. So at this juncture, I think it is imperative for media and communication practitioners to, I think, speak with accuracy, compassion, and facts for sure, and recognize the contributions of migrants and refugees to our society.
I want to kind of zero down on recent articles, as you've mentioned, that have been coming out in the press that particularly look at the Rohingya community and portray the Rohingya community in a negative light. Why do you think the Rohingya community are the current targets of an anti-migrant campaign at the moment? Like, what is it about this particular community that seems to be setting people off? We can go with Malar. And if Chunting, you want to chime in on any of your observations, please do.
I think I'll go first. Here, as I've mentioned earlier, I think the issue here is, COVID-19 has exacerbated inequalities in our society, existing inequalities, and also at times manufactured fear by certain parties, especially those with power and resources. So what happens then is, you know, fear is often uninformed. And when some articles, when they have, they publish problematic narrative or xenophobic rhetoric or dehumanization of migrants and refugees, stereotypical language, for example, depicting them as drug pushers or addicts, you know, this could lead to further discrimination of marginalized communities, especially in times of a pandemic. One issue that I want to highlight here in terms of, you know, covering migration issues or covering issues around refugees is that it is important to look into pressing issues such as access, for example, access to education, health, or issues such as labor rights violation, unethical recruitment policies, human trafficking, or religious and political persecution, rather than focusing just on, you know, perpetuating discrimination or fear. Yeah, perhaps Chunting can add on to that. Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts, Chunting, on this?
Yeah, I think if let's say it's like we talk about Rohingya issue is not new to Malaysia, and it has been here for quite some time, and like in many experience of the NGOs and also government experience, we have helped Rohingya in many occasions, and we even helped Rohingya in Bangladesh and Cox's Bazar as well. So I think the issue here is that it has been highlighted in the news. It perhaps that it is become a target as a scapegoat for this racist or xenophobic incidents that happen throughout the world and throughout Malaysia as well. And in particular for Rohingya populations, even in general for refugee and migrant, and usually this group of people, they are voiceless because they don't speak the language that we understand, or they can't even understand the language that we speak, or able to voice out what is the perception they have, or what is their opinion they have. And often enough, that media hardly cover the perception or voices for this particular group among the migrants and refugees. And so it becomes the information that we receive, the public receive, is just one-sided. So it becomes either the perception from the public, from the media, or from the government, from NGO. And hardly we hear any voices from the migrant and refugee groups.
That's such a good point, Chun Ting. The fact that they don't have an outlet to voice what they're thinking or what they're feeling. And that makes them an easy scapegoat for those who just want to point the finger at them. What about... So I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate, yeah? Because for some readers who read these articles that perpetuate certain stories about the migrant community, some of them feel that this does reflect their experience, that there are social issues that arise when different communities come together, right? That's what happens. And they feel that, oh, but this reporting is true. Like, why are you trying to silence my point of view? How do we deal with that kind of attitude or that kind of perception? Mala, do you have thoughts? And then Chun Ting?
Yeah, sure. I think putting forth an argument or, for example, addressing concerns of certain parties or even opinion pieces or, for example, should look into critical elements such as truth, facts, context, and what's happening on the ground. However, if the narrative is unethical, clearly one-sided, prioritizes the interests of the few, and further discriminates the vulnerable and marginalized, then that's deeply troubling and it's not the way forward.
Probably I add on this. I think, like, certainly there are certain media reportings that are reporting the real incidents, the event itself. But I think that we also need to understand further that why that particular event or incident happens. So, for example, like, we when we report the issues about cleanliness and the environment, the living environment for the migrant or refugee conditions. And often enough, it's dirty, it's crowded, it's also a very congested environment. It's true, but we also want to know that why it happened in such a way. Is that caused by the migrant themselves, caused by the refugee themselves, or this is an environment that they are forced to live in or without other alternative? So I think in terms of reporting, yes, we are reporting the real event, but we also want to report why the real event happened in such a way.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point, I think. That's what the media is supposed to do, right? Putting that context in there so that people mm-hmm. understand the full picture and not just what the surface seems to show. I'm speaking to Malar Vili Meganathan and Wong Chun Ting of the International Organization for Migration Malaysia. When we come back, what are other best practices for the media in reporting on migrant issues? And what can readers do to cut through the noise? Stay with us on Pressing Matters. And here's a quick message. What does it take to become an EY Entrepreneur of the Year? For the recipients of this prestigious award, it's a tale of passion, grit, and determination. Hear how winning this award has made a difference to the recipients and their enterprise. Tune in on Wednesday, 23rd of June at 8:45 a.m., where we'll be speaking to EY Entrepreneur of the Year 2020 Malaysia, Kamarul Muhammad of Aerodyne Group. BFM 89.9. Hello, if you've just joined us, I'm Shazana and this is Pressing Matters on The Morning Run. I have with me on the show today Malar Vili Meganathan, communications consultant, and Wong Chun Ting, National Project Officer looking at public health and migration, both with the International Organization for Migration, or IOM Malaysia. We're discussing media coverage of migrant issues here in Malaysia. I want to talk a little bit about the training workshops that IOM conducts. And what are some of the key guidelines that you try to impress upon participants in reporting on migrant issues? I think you did mention some of it, Malar, but I guess if you want to kind of reiterate some of the main principles that journalists and media practitioners need to think about when they report on these issues.
Okay, sure. So I'll address the guidelines first, and then I'll move on to IOM's trainings, if that's okay. So news organizations, I think, often have their own guidelines on newsrooms or best practices. But then when it comes to reporting on migrants, they can definitely look into the ethical charter for media coverage of migration, drafted by journalists and experts from Asia, Africa, and Europe, which outlines six ethical principles. So, but I don't think we have that much time to cover all six. But however, I'll probably just highlight the outline, You know, what the Charter outlines is that the importance of looking into a more global historical, socioeconomic, and geopolitical context when covering migration. And at the same time, media coverage of migration must take into account that migrants and individuals are worthy of dignity and respect, which requires journalists to then provide them with a fair opportunity to contribute to the debate as well. And for our media training, we recently concluded a series of media trainings and workshops on various topics, such as the role of media in addressing xenophobia, media and public perception, navigating narratives, media representations of migrants and refugees. And overall, the media trainings funded by the European Union Civil Protection and Humanitarian Aid received a positive reaction from journalists, producers, editors, basically for including pertinent topics, recommendations in migration reporting, case study analysis, where we compare different articles from different regions to see what's the most ethical way to highlight issues and address and cover these stories. And also panel discussions with migrant and refugee representatives themselves, community leaders, civil society organization, and communication experts as well. And perhaps Chun-Ting could add on to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what Mala outlines, the structures of the media journalists should know. And I think one of the things that we also highlight, words matters, and the choice of words that we project or choose to portray in the media is important, and how we actually refer a certain group of people, certain group of refugees and migrants is important. And that's to actually show certain respect and dignity for the migrant. Like, for example, try to avoid to use the dehumanizing language and metaphor that can cast migration in the form of nature disaster or migrant as animal or other example. So at the same time, that I think we also need to challenge the perception, the hate speech. It becomes like the ethical journalism that I think most of the media journalists should know. And one of the key important things that I think I mentioned before, try to connect with the migrant and the refugee population that we highlight in the news so that we get to know them better. So when we report the incidents or the news about the migrant and refugee, then we can actually report more truly to the conditions that they really into.
Shazana, I would like to add on one quick example for what Chun-Ting just said, if that's okay. Because in addressing the narrative of the other, right, it is crucial to look into how migrants and refugees are represented and when, who gets to participate in the debate, who gets to make the decisions, and who gets to speak with authority. Now, these are very important elements. And one good example would be the term illegal migrants, still vastly used by some media practitioners here in Malaysia and around the world. So basically, the term irregular or undocumented is preferable to illegal because the word illegal carries a criminal connotation and it's against migrants' dignity. And migrants, as any human being, can never be illegal. They can be in irregular situations due to various reasons, but it is inaccurate to refer to a person as illegal. So these are some of the examples that we use in our trainings as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm curious, in terms of the participation in your trainings, does it cover a cross-section of the Malaysian media, including the BM press, the Chinese press, any of the vernacular press, or is it mostly English publications that are that participate? And do you have observations in terms of, I guess, how the different mainstream newspapers cover this issue? If there are any thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, because we try our best to send the invitations to basically not only all media organizations in Malaysia, but also regional media organizations with our partners, because we do work with other partners as well. I would say for a few challenges that some of the media organizations and participants put forward to us is, at times editorial decisions are made by, they don't align with the journalist or the reporter as well, because they then have difference of opinion with the editorial decisions, editors, or even the owners of the publications or the media organizations. So that is something that I noticed, because Most of the times when participants tell us these stories, they do agree with this, but they say that it's, you know, our hands are tied by certain parties here.
I see. So there's a complex picture within media outlets themselves on how editorial decisions are made on these issues. This is definitely something to keep in mind. Chunting, how do migrant communities feel about the way they're portrayed in the media? Do you get any feedback about that in your interactions with them?
Well, like we work on the ground, and most of the time that migrants do read news, and I think certain media platform also translate some of the information and the news to reach out to the migrant population so that they also know that what is the update of the Malaysia situation, especially for this COVID pandemic. And of course, they also get in touch with some of the community and representative. So I think when there's negative report, I think we've seen recently, then they also not dare to actually come out. And even when we do this vaccinations rollout campaign for all peoples in Malaysia, so we do get the sentiments that they still living in fear and also have a lot of challenges, especially this MCO period for a long time already. And most of them have no channel for actually ask for help as well. So this is the situations that they're in.
Right. They're just backed against the wall, like, essentially, and they don't have anywhere else to go. Okay. We want the media to do better, but what about media consumers, I mean the readers? Do they hold some responsibility in what's being said? You know, I guess, what can a reader do to be more discerning about the kind of news they're consuming on migrants? Either Mala or Chunting, if any of you have thoughts on this.
Right. I think the reader definitely plays a very important role because they have the choice to choose, basically, what type of articles they choose to read, or the news organization or the subscriptions they choose as well. So they definitely have power in terms of, you know, what to read, when to read, all these elements. So I think the most important thing they can do is to question, because communication is not one way anymore, and that is for the better for sure. So I think the reader or those who are consuming news should definitely question in terms of facts, context, the reasons or who's behind it. Or these are the elements that you know, they could use to critically analyze the news, not just passively consuming news.
Yeah, I think one of the things that the reader can do, I think in this pandemic periods, that we need to come out with solidarity with everyone, and we need to read and consume and digest the news with kindness as well. So when we receive information with hate sentiments or xenophobic sentiment, and this is something that the reader should able to analyze and understand that this is not kind news, and able to actually respond even internally, or not to spread the misinformation or disinformation to the others then. So this is something that perhaps individually the readers also can do.
Okay, yeah, that's some good advice there. Malar, Chunting, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today and for the important work that IOM Malaysia and partners do with the migrant community.
Thank you so much for having us as well, Shazana. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot.
I've been speaking to media and communications consultant Malarvili Meganathan and National Project Officer Wong Chunting, both with the International Organization for Migration Malaysia. If you're interested in more discussions on migrant and refugee issues, please search these terms on the BFM app or on our website. You'll find a range of content to explore. This has been Pressing Matters on the Morning Run. Stay tuned for the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up next. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.